Good evening, everyone. Welcome all our guests that are joining us tonight. We are truly honored by your presence, and we thank you for giving us that vote of confidence by joining us tonight, not only to have given our God worship in spirit and in truth, but to come to this part where we study together the Word of our God. To our brothers and sisters, members of Southeast, thank you as well for being here tonight. Brother Joel, that was a really good, thought-provoking lesson. Thank you very much. Like how you brought the aspect of worthiness in the example of Peter. Really, really, really well done, brother. So, we, on Wednesday evenings, have been learning together how to study the Bible. We've already been able to implement the system that I lovingly call the Renteria system, since it is Brother Renteria, my mentor, who taught me this approach as to how to rightly divide the Word of our God. And if you recall, it's a three-step process, if you will. We approach the Bible from a grammatical standpoint. We approach it from the historical, and then finally, we find the spiritual or the biblical application of it. We have been now focusing on this last part of this three-step process. And we took as an example, as a way of using this and understanding this, Genesis chapter 1, where we've been talking about the creation. And the question that we've been asking, or we started asking last Wednesday, is how can we take this information that the inspired Moses, who is believed to have written this book, provides for us? Now, I use this as example because typically when we think about creation, well, we think about the 6 days of creation and the seventh day of rest. Sister Lucy already looking at me ready to tell me it was six, right? We see, of course, that in there we learn about the power of God. We learn about the creative mind behind creation. But we also receive this information from a historical context, the origins, if you will, of what we now see, of what we now enjoy. But all of this, of course, is in grammatical and historical. Thus, the question that we began answering last week is, how can this information about how the world was created apply to me spiritually? How can I take this and make an application to my personal spiritual growth? And how can it also apply to us as a church? Now, who remembers what was one aspect that we were able to perceive last week? Very good. That God is a God of order. Our God is a God of order. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we see how we took that passage and were able to use an application of it, correct? Verse 33 specifically, God is not the author of confusion. Therefore, because He is the author of peace, well, we began by noticing in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, tells us that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So, we began by noticing how God is not a God of disorder. But we also started asking the question, well, why was the world created void and without form? There had to have been a specific reason for this. I mentioned the fact that those who are promoters of theistic evolution tried to claim that millions of years transpired between verse 1 and verse 2. Well, that simply is not true. A simple study of the grammatical portion of these scriptures will prove to you that that is not the case. Instead, as we've established, that because God is a God of order, He is showing us that the way that the world was created, the order in which it was created, was by design. Now, we were able to prove this because, without a doubt, God could have just spoken the world into creation, all of it at the same time, in the moment, in an instant, and it would have happened. God is omnipotent. God is omniscient, and He is omnipresent. God didn't have to take 6 days to create the world. And yet, the fact that He did proves to us that it was by design with a specific purpose in mind. A specific purpose with us, those who were created in His image and in His likeness, in mind. Let me give you an example of this. If you will go to chapter 2. If you will go to chapter 2. Verse 19. It says, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave name to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Why do you believe that God brought this task before creating woman for Adam? Or did God simply realize after the fact, oh, you know what? Verse 18, right? It is not good for man to be alone. Because when we read it, we tend to have that tendency of just interpreting it that way. Almost as if God forgot man needed a helpmeet. But it's interesting. All the other parts of creation, the cattle, the birds of the air, the animals, they all had their pairs. There was male and female amongst all of them. But man, who is created in the image and in the likeness of God, did not find for himself anyone comparable to him. Was that by accident that Adam realized, well, where's my partner? Where is my equal? Where is she or the person, the species with whom I can multiply and fructify the land? You see how God uses His creation to teach man lessons? This is why chapter 1 is important, to delve a little deeper into it, to look at it from the biblical standpoint, or as we said, the spiritual standpoint. Because God implemented this same system with Adam. As we read here in chapter 2, verse 19 and verse 20, clearly God was teaching Adam as to what was about to take place after he had completed this task. He didn't just give Adam busy work to keep him busy. No, Adam was always going to work. You know, the belief, brethren, that we sometimes have, that when we're in heaven, we will no longer work, is not true. Because in Eden, we were always going to work. Notice that before man was cast out of the garden, he had been given the task to fructify the land, but also to tend to the garden. That word there in the Greek, in the original Hebrew, for the word tend is referring to guarding, to keeping up, to making sure that it was all nice and looking nice and clean. So man was always going to work. The difference is that man was not going to feel the heaviness and the burden of work. The land was not going to be cursed with thorns and bristles as it is now. In other words, it wasn't going to be backbreaking. But man was always going to work. So in chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, we see how God uses His creation to teach the one part of His creation created in His image and His likeness a valuable lesson. Adam obviously learned this lesson. Because once more, verse 20, but for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. As we like to say, Adam connected the dots, didn't he? He was able to see that every species had its pair, and thus the question was asked, where is my species? Where is my comparable helpmeet? So, when we read this, brethren, we see then that as we go back to Genesis 1, keeping in mind that God uses His creation to teach us lessons. He uses His creation so that we can reflect. It is through His creation that He wants us to be able to ask those proper questions that lead us to these spiritual answers. So the question then is, what else do we learn from the story of creation in Genesis chapter 1? In addition to God being a God of order, in addition to His omnipotence, His omniscience, and His omnipresence, what else can we learn from this that we can apply to our spiritual lives? There's laid out a path for us to follow. Okay. Okay, good. So God, when created, does not make mistakes. So everything is by design, which goes back to God is a God of order. So why did God begin with light, day one, and end with man, day six? Well, we'll have to answer that question in another class. Or you and I can talk about it later. But they would fit in day three and... Yes, day three, when animals are created. Is it day three or day five? I'll get back to you. But yes, they were created. And there is enough evidence biblically to show that they were in existence. Now, what happened to them? Usually the knee-jerk response, right, is that the flood. But we do see other examples after the flood where there were still some of them left over, right? We see in the book of Job where we read about the behemoth and we read about the Leviathan. But we also find in the book of Ezekiel another dinosaur there, right? A species that is mentioned there from the sea. A type of sea dragon, if you will, that is mentioned from the past. We don't know, but... Or perhaps we do know based on the current evidence that's happening with the current animals that we have. You know, how many animals and species do we have that are endangered, right? For example, the American bison. I'm not sure if they're already extinct or in their danger of being extinct. But what happened to those animals? How did they become extinct? Well, we ate them all, right? We killed them for their fur. Well, they're killed for their hides. So there is a very, very, very strong possibility that we ate all of them. We killed them all. I know that scientists want to say there was some kind of meteor or some kind of a natural disaster. If it would have been a disaster, it would have had to have been the flood. But we know, once again, that there is enough evidence that not all of them were killed or extinct in the flood. Therefore, The next, in my humble opinion, I want to clarify, it's my opinion, right? We ate them all. I really believe that we ate them all. I think that we've always been the source of the extinction of animals, because animals are going extinct today because we're killing them, right? We're eating them, we're taking their fur, we're abusing what God has given us the right to. So just to kind of not leave you hanging with that question. But again, going back to our lesson, the spiritual and biblical application of Genesis chapter 1. What can I take from this that can show me something that I can use for my personal growth? Well, take into effect that the reason why I was going into chapter 2 was so that we can see what God defines as order. Last week, we mentioned the fact that light had to be created first. It is a scientific proof that this world cannot exist without light. And we mentioned the fact that light, when we talk about life, we always think about the sun and we think about the cosmos, right? But it's important to notice that God created light before He created the sun. There was 3 days of light before there was a sun, stars, and moon. And in fact, when we see that on the fourth day, God explains the purpose of these heavenly bodies, right? We see that God declares that their purpose was for the times and the seasons, right? Chapter 1, verse 14. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. This was on the fourth day. So we have to understand that the sun, the stars, the moon, they were taking in light from somewhere. They are not the source of light. They provide light for us today, right? The heat of the sun provides for us today. But in the beginning, we see that God created the sun 4 days after He created light. Brother Franco last week asked, well then, what is light? Well, I redirect the question and ask, who is light? See? Go with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And remember, we're studying the Bible biblically. We're asking these questions biblically. We're looking for the spiritual connections, right? John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning, what does that sound like? Genesis 1:1, right? But was this the same beginning of the world being created? No. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now notice verse 3. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was what? The light of men. Let there be light. And there was light. John tells us, He is the light. And in Him there is life. Jesus Himself in the same gospel, and this is a gospel account, declares, I am what? The light of the world. Well, now we're seeing an expansion on what the meaning of that word is, aren't we? We established last Wednesday that without light, there can be no life. A world cannot survive in darkness. Once more. And I want you to pay attention to the term I'm using. This is a scientific fact. Do you understand why I'm saying this is a scientific fact? This is for our friends who say that science and religion don't mix. No, they do. True science and religion mixes. Because you cannot have science without God. The falsely called science of which Peter tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 is the one that does not mix with truth. Because it's false. But notice that how even in the Bible, true science is found. And it is used as evidence of a divine creator. Chapter 1 gives us a science lesson, folks. And it proves to us what science truly is. It's part of the word omniscience, isn't it? Omniscience, all-knowing. So when we see these applications, we start asking these questions and make these connections, right? Well, wait a minute, if the sun was created on the fourth day, then what is light? Well, it's simply as simple as changing who is light. You see, God is the source of life. God is the source of this creation. Paul applied this same lesson to the Athenians in Acts chapter 17, didn't he? He also explained this to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 13 and forward. But what we're seeing, brethren, is that when we talk about God being a God of order, well, what we're learning then is His life of anarchy or a life of chaos does not bring forth life. It brings forth death. How were we living before we gave our lives over to God? Was our life in order? We were blind guides of the blind, weren't we? When the Pharisees were offended by what Jesus had to say in regards to the washing of hands in Matthew 15, do you remember what Peter said? You have offended them. And Jesus answered to Peter, leave them, for they are blind guides of the blind. Well, if a blind man guides another blind man, is there going to be much order in that? There's only so much they can do, right? There's only so much they can depend on. But eventually, they're both in danger of falling and hurting themselves. Because they're missing what? Light from their eyes. This is what Christ was referring to. They're blind. They're in darkness. They're in spiritual ignorance. Yes, sir? I'm sorry? Oh.
Yeah, so... So we're talking about the Word, and then God created light. But we're not saying that the light is Christ, right? Because in the sense that God created light, that would mean Christ would be created, right? Because Christ is already...
Is Christ created or is he not?
He's not.
We have an interesting question here.
Because he's God. I mean, why?
Okay. What do you think, Joel? Is God, is Christ created or not?
No. I'm going to say that it says the light was created through Christ.
You see that?
So that's what I'm saying. So the light is just through Christ, meaning they're spiritual.
Meaning the life that was given to man, it came through him. So he is created, but he's not created. He's created as man when he became the incarnate Word. But as God, no. He is God. Yes. I just wanted to make you sweat a little bit. But yes, we see then in John, to clarify, I'm not saying that Christ as God is created. I'm saying Christ as man is created, right? Christ as man was indeed created. And to prove that, let's go to chapter 1, right? Verse 8, he was not that light, but, oh, well, this is talking about John the Immerser, right? He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, and who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now notice, and the Word became flesh. That's creation right there, isn't it?
That so, also means that he was present in the beginning.
Yes. It shows his omnipresence. Very good. But the point being that with John, and this is what's so beautiful about the Gospel of John, why it's my favorite of the four. Everything in John has a duality. And what I mean by that is John is always going to show us the divine side of Christ, but he's also going to show us the human side of Christ. So he's going to show us Christ as the Creator, but now he's also going to show us Jesus as the creation. Does that make sense? So observe that before he was man, he was the Word. That's his divine side, right? The part that is not created, the self-existent part. But then he became flesh. And we have to explain the question, well, what does it mean that he became flesh? How did he become flesh? Well, not like Adam, right? He didn't take dust from the earth and created Jesus like he created Adam. But how did Jesus become flesh? He was conceived like we were, wasn't he? Well, not like we were, but similar to the way we were. But he was conceived nonetheless, meaning then that his mother, in whose womb he grew, also gave birth to him in the same time frame that a normal natural birth takes place, right? Well, there we're seeing then that he is created, aren't we? And this is why John is doing this. Remember that this gospel account and the first letter were written in response to Gnosticism. Okay, the Gnostics were this philosophical group during the first century who were denying that Jesus was either God or that he was man. And by doing so, they were in essence denying then his sacrifice. What they were saying is that what was seen on the cross was an illusion. That it was not indeed the Son of God, because God that is purely good cannot become matter which is purely wrong or bad, evil. So they were denying that Jesus was both God and human simultaneously. So John writes this letter, this book, and the first letter in response to that, to demonstrate to them both the divine attributes and the human attributes of Jesus that were always working together. So that's what I meant when I asked the question, is Christ a created being? Well, yes and no. As God, no. As man, yes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I hope I answered your question.
Yeah.
Okay. So Genesis chapter 1, right? Once again, the fact that we have these kingdoms, right? And when we're talking about kingdom, we're not talking about it in the sense that we typically understand it in terms of governments or in terms of a president or a king or a monarch. But rather we're talking about, as they say in science, right? These different areas or different species, if you will. If you go with me to Genesis chapter 1, you will see that in Genesis chapter 1, through the creation story, we see these kingdoms present. And we are able to observe how the mineral kingdom is created first, isn't it? That's what light does. Light gives life to these minerals. It gives the heat that produces the minerals on the earth, doesn't it? So notice how it begins first, right, by showing us the mineral kingdom. As we see that there was light, we see that in verses 3 through 8, we see that God creates the mineral kingdom, right? It's not until day 3 where we find the vegetation kingdom or the vegetable kingdom. The dry ground, the earth, the fruits, the vegetables, right? We see that in chapter 1, verse 9 and verse 10, God talks about the dry land, the earth, and the gathering together of the waters. And then verse 11, let the earth bring forth its grass. And verse 12... So all of this, right, is part of the vegetable kingdom. Of course, the stars, the moons, the sun. Well, we can make an argument and say that's the cosmic kingdom, which I didn't write on the board, by the way. Right? The firmaments in the skies. The sun, how the world, this earth revolves around it. And then, of course, we have the animal kingdom. The fish of the sea, the fowls of the air, the beasts of the land, the insects. But on that same day, man was also created. Now, one can make the argument... One can make the argument that man and animal were created in the same kingdom. But why do I separate the two? Or should we separate the two? Very good. We were created differently, weren't we? We were created in the image and likeness of man. Although we were created on the same day, are we like animals? We have dominion over them. In fact, if you pay attention, we have dominion almost all of these, don't we? We have dominion over the earth. And how we plant, what we plant, and how we tend to the crops. The animals, we are able to domesticate the majority of them, and we are able to use them to our service, right? Even the minerals, I mean, we've been able to use them and create them into vitamins for our bodies. We've been able to use them to help ourselves in our health. One can make the argument, right, that we've gone to space, that we've landed on the moon. We have all these types of satellites out in space that serve us from out there. But the one part of creation that is always in a position of authority is man. Because we are the only part of his entire creation that was created in his image and in his likeness. Think about the fact that not even the sun, you know, for eons and eons, human civilization has always worshipped the sun, haven't they? The sun has always been revered as a god. Every civilization, every culture we read about in our history books, the Egyptians, right? The word Pharaoh has the word Ra in it. Ra, speaking in reference to the sun god. We think about the Aztecs and the Mayans, those indigenous cultures from this side of the world, where they too revered the sun as a god. Almost every single civilization that we know of has always viewed the sun as the most important thing in creation. But God is telling us, no, you are. Because even the sun was created to serve you. Think about that. Even the sun was created by God's design to serve us. Because the sun was not given intellect. The sun was not given a mind. We understand how the sun works through our knowledge today, but the sun has no understanding. The sun simply does what it was designed to do until the day that God gave it its expiration date, right? So it's interesting, brethren, when we begin to see this, that not only is God showing us that He is a God of order, but He is also showing us the value that we hold in His eyes. How important we are to Him. And this is what David was in awe of. If you will, go with me to Psalm chapter 8. Or Psalm 8 rather, excuse me. And this is what David was in awe of as he wrote this inspired psalm. Psalm 8. Verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy of the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. Notice what he was considering. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Pay close attention to where David's eyes were. He wasn't looking downward, he was looking heavenward. And what he was amazed by, what he was gazing at and just mesmerized, was the beauty of the stars, was the beauty of the firmaments, the moon, as he says, and the stars. You know, it's one of my favorite things to do. I love looking at the night sky when you can actually see stars. You know, last year I was had been recommended to go out west because there's a part out there where you see the sky full of them. Fortunately, it was too cold and it started snowing, so I wasn't able to go. But I plan, God willing, to go sometime soon. And one of the reasons why I want to do that is because I think about the psalm. And I want to think, I want to see, like, what was so amazing, David, that it made you ask this specific question by looking at the heavens, by looking at the moon, and by looking at the stars, and it brought this question right here. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? See, David right there is acknowledging that these stars that we are able to enjoy by looking at them were created for us. They were created for us. Think about those who are out at sea before we had radars and before we had the technology that we had. What did they use to navigate the waters at night? The stars. You see how the stars are serving man right there? And God created it that way. It wasn't by accident. Man did not just figure out how to use God's creation when it wasn't, quote, intended for that purpose. No, it was. Because as chapter 2 shows us, where God was showing man through his creation how to learn about what he has been given, everything we have achieved, brethren, has been because God designed it that way. We didn't just figure things out and created something new. No, it was always meant to be used in the way that we're using it. This is why cloning will never work. Because cloning is not part of God's natural order. That is man trying to play God and failing miserably. But observe, when we use what has been given to us in the manner that it was supposed to be used, as it was designed by God, how really, truly special we come to realize we are in the eyes of our God. To know that He created all of this for little old me, so that I would not find myself without direction, so that I would not find myself without provision, so that I would not find myself without protection. Unfortunately, our time is up. But this is a spiritual application, right? We're studying biblically. As you can tell, it takes us a little deeper into Scripture. Because the purpose is, how do I apply these lessons in my spiritual growth? We've seen that God is a God of order, as seen there in creation. We've seen that God ordained everything in its place. But we also see that God is a loving God, because we are a special creation. Thank you all for your time. Let's have a word of prayer, and then if anyone has any questions, we can definitely talk afterward. But if you will, please, bow with me. Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, we come before Thy throne of grace to give Thee all honor and glory. We are grateful, Father, for Thy love, and we are grateful for Thy mercy and compassion that has been bestowed upon us. We thank Thee, Father, for having given us such a precious creation, knowing and understanding, Father, that Thou have entrusted us with such a great and amazing design, Lord, so that we may have, Father, Thy presence, and that we may know that Thou art with us wherever we go. We know that Thy fingerprints are all through Thy creation, and that, Father, Thou have not left Thyself without witness, so that we may know of Thy presence, and that we may understand that truly Thou art not far from any one of us. Thank You for always being there for us, Father. Thank You for always caring for us and providing for us. Forgive us when we, Father, have been selfish and have not acknowledged Thee. Forgive us when we, Father, have not been grateful in Thy presence or in Thy sight. Father, as we meditate upon these words, let those who have heard the voice of Thy servant, Father, search them daily, to search Scripture to see if I have indeed taught Thy word as I have left it. And if that be Thy case, may the honor, praise, and glory be Thine and not my own, Father. But grant me the boldness, Father, to also apply these lessons in my own personal life. Father, that we together may be a strong light, showing man, Father, the direction that leads, Father, to Thy salvation. Forgive us for our sins. Forgive us when we have failed Thee. For we pray this in the glorious and precious name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.